This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
Today is the first of two shows about women in tech, and in conjunction with International Women's Day, we will be celebrating women in tech, an industry where women still remain underrepresented in general and in leadership. We'll be speaking with various female tech leaders who built their tech careers with hard work, sweat, tears, and often overlooked intelligence. And in this episode, we'll be speaking to women in tech Malaysian chapter's country director, Yuki Aizawa, Irene Omar, president, Air Asia Digital at Air Asia, and Anku Norliza Shazwan, Anku Halmi, the CEO of Boost Life. What a powerful lineup.
Yes, and it's quite literally only half of it, so yeah. That's very exciting as well. Now, so this is why we're talking about this today and tomorrow. In 2021, the Department of Statistics Malaysia reported that the total women workforce in Malaysia has reached 38.9% or 5.92 million people as of quarter two of 2021. And in the technology field itself, women representation has now reached 35%. And this has been noted by Serena Shukri, who I believe is the chief executive officer of MDEC, Malaysia Digital Economy Corporation, in a press release in March last year. Now, according to her, initiatives such as the Perkhidmatan E-Dagang Setempat, or PEDAS, which assists rural entrepreneurs to market their products on e-commerce platforms with facilities made available at 32 rural internet centres worldwide, has been dominated by women with 79% participation, or a total of 3,201 people.
Now, although those numbers are looking somewhat positive, it's an undeniable fact that women still remain underrepresented in the tech field. That's why Women in Tech, an international non-profit organisation headquartered in France, aims to close the gender gap and help women embrace technology. Women in Tech launched their Malaysian chapter recently, and country director Yuki Aizawa said the organisation aimed to bridge the gap in female representation in the areas of corporate, micro, and small and medium enterprises, as well as startups, while managing the complex multiracial nation. Yuki mentioned on Banama on February 23rd that in Malaysia, the SME sector obviously contributes to much of the economy, so women in tech want to empower them. They know how important it is to have the understanding of the power of technology.
Yes, and of course, we will be speaking to Yuki later on as well. Now, she also added that there are so many women business owners, but that they're doing a lot of very manual, intense work, where if they're introduced to a very simple, efficient application on a mobile phone, for example, they can just log in, share it easily with their teams, and maybe that might be more proficient by, 20 to 30% or even more.
Okay, so tough question here. So why do we need women in tech? Elaine Montilla, an author in the Forbes Technology Council, highlighted the top three reasons. So starting with number one, diversity generates more revenue. The Boston Consulting Group, BCG, and the Technical University of Munich conducted a study to understand the relationship between diversity in management. The results showed that increasing the diversity of leadership teams brings more and better innovation and improved financial performance in both developing and developed economies. The study showed that companies with the greatest gender diversity, those in which 8 out of every 20 managers were female, generated about 34% of their revenues from innovative products and services in the most recent 3-year period.
The second point is that diversity encourages different views. Different people, like men and women, see things differently and bring unique ideas to the table. This enables better problem solving, which can boost performance at the business unit level. I mean, imagine all of the buying power you'll tap into by bringing together a mix of genders with various backgrounds, ethnicities. Better yet, after your company gains a reputation of having a more diverse workforce, you also gain an extremely powerful recruiting tool at your disposal.
Now, number three, and this is a big one, we need more role models. By celebrating female tech leaders, it will hopefully encourage more girls to pursue their interests and careers in tech, thus increasing the hiring pool diversity. We need to ensure young girls have strong role models of other successful women in STEM, and that women have a seat at the table so they can engage men men on the topic of gender equality. Being a woman in IT is not always easy, and being the only woman in the boardroom at times can put unseen pressure on them. People, no matter male or female, can't be what they can't see. Role models make a huge difference because until girls or women see other females who looked and sounded like them in leadership positions, it's difficult to believe that they could one day make it that far. And when you bring women into senior roles, you demonstrate that others have an opportunity to succeed too.
So we thought we would actually hear from women in the tech industry today and tomorrow. Today, we're specifically speaking to Yuki Aizawa, Women in Tech Malaysian Chapter's Country Director, Irene Omar, President of Air Asia Digital at Air Asia, and Unku Norliza Shazwan Unku Halmi, CEO of Boost Life. And first question for everyone, thanks to you all for joining us on the show today. How did you get started on the path in the tech industry? Let's start with Yuki first.
I was in the Islamic finance media company where I met my ex-company that provided banking software both for conventional and Islamic. Now, obviously, the sexy and trending ways to call it would be fintech. This was more than 10 years ago. Then I saw the transformation and shifts at such fast-paced digitalization. And together with my co-founder, we built a company, Rinne Technologies and Consulting, utilizing blockchain, all with social impact in mind, specifically addressing deforestation issues and financial inclusion. I am non-technical founder, and it is also a messaging that I would like to emphasize that in tech industry, we need all functions. You don't necessarily have to have coding skills. Passion and interest drives everything anyway.
Interesting. How about you, Irene?
How I started to dabble in tech and to be really serious and passionate about it is because of the need for us to pivot to be more than just an airline. And we saw this opportunity when there's a wealth of data that we have when we were selling air flight tickets and getting people to go into our website and so forth. So we saw the opportunity of how to use this data to build more revenues, to build more new businesses that complements with our airline business, to be more cost efficient in our operations as well, and also to provide a seamless journey for users and passengers. And we saw the opportunity in terms of like using data and the need of understanding coding and software engineering and product UI UX, where the whole user journey is really important to get the conversion rate up high, using data to be more personalized in many aspects and so forth, and how from that understanding of data you could do machine learning that could be more effective in terms of getting more revenue and better efficiency and productivity in our operations. So it was the need to pivot, to be bigger than just an airline, to be a travel and lifestyle tech company that got me started to be very passionate in tech.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Unku?
I didn't begin my career in technology. I started my career in a discipline that was more left brain centric, in finance actually. But I've always had a fascination with how fast technology evolved. And I've always had a bit of a creative streak in me. I think I've been blessed with good fortune to pursue the industries that is in demand right now. Even though I was in finance, I was doing finance in a startup company, and this allowed me the opportunity to broaden my horizon. I've also expanded my repertoire, leading the product team, which brought me closer to the technology folks and pursue marketing functions as well. Today, I am in a sweet spot, fully utilizing my experience and being on the right, such as a company in Boost, fast-paced, innovative, and forward-thinking. I want women out there to know that you may not always start off where you want to be, but with a learning mindset and a determination to pursue your passion, mm-hmm. regardless if it's a men's dominated playing field, you can always chart your own path.
Okay, Yuki, Irene, and Uncook, if you just stay on the line for us, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I've got a question for you about some of the roadblocks that you might have faced. Let's take a short break here, folks. If you want to get in touch, 0187-89-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Short break with some music from The Band with The Shape I'm In here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
In conjunction with International Women's Day, we are celebrating women in tech, an industry where women still remain underrepresented in general and in leadership. We've got three people on the phone. We have Yuki Aizawa, Women in Tech Malaysian's chapter country director. We have Irene Omar, president of AirAsia Digital at AirAsia, and Uncle Norliza Shazwan Uncle Halmi, CEO of Boost Life. Thank you for waiting on the phone. I want to ask you, what have been some of the roadblocks that you have faced across your career as a woman in tech? Irene, let's start with you.
What I have noticed the roadblocks that women face is potentially maybe sometimes the lack of confidence in themselves. They are able to do it as well as men. As for instance, if I see the software engineering team, there are more men than women. But I see the men are more confident in doing their job than the ladies are, and they tend to let the men do the talking or leading the project when they themselves are capable as well. Or in the data science team, I see more men than women. The digital marketing team tend to have a little bit more women than men in the other tech departments. So I think firstly, the pool of women needs to be bigger in this job areas. Maybe because women feel that they're more inclined to finance or law or to marketing. But when it comes to tech, they probably feel, okay, this is too much numbers here, and maybe this is more for men than us. It's something that they're probably not inclined to do so. But they don't realize by understanding digitalization and doing all this technical skills that they need, or so it can turn out to be something creative and art that they will enjoy, and they can grow a career out of it.
Okay, Uncle Norliza, let's hear from you.
There is an ingrained perception that women are not as technical or as analytical as men. Unfortunately, we ourselves buy into this narrative. This perception has been years in the making. And only recently are we breaking it. I think personally for me, some of the roadblock stems from the ingrained perceptions that have been socially conditioned since we were young. Roadblocks such as thinking that I cannot pursue this industry because it's a men's domain, that I need to stay at home. Fortunate enough for me, I have a strong support system and my own sets of cheerleaders who encourage me along the way. Yes, of course, fintech is still considered a hot sector that is typically dominated by men. Even numbers cited by our own MDEC shown that women only make up 35% of the workforce in the technology field. I guess this is because this sector has a reputation of being the boys' club. But I'd like to take this opportunity to encourage women out there to pursue their passion in whatever industry that takes their fancy, including in fintech. If anything, you can take me as a living example that women can chart a path in fintech. In fact, there are so many other capable women colleagues in Boost who are also charting a strong path in this industry. I do believe in this saying, if you can't get a seat at the table, build your own. There's nothing that can stop you except yourself. Just be confident.
Brilliant. Finally, Yuki, let's have the same question for you. What are some of the roadblocks you faced over your career?
Roadblocks are the results of many complex issues and topics, starting from culture, education, policies, organizational hurdles, and the list goes on. tech is still a very male-dominated industry. It was really hard to find communities to share the challenges I faced. It still is quite a lonely place in Asia when you look around. There are many female in tech industries, but we never had the platform together as one. We are seeing many conferences, webinars, and speakers are mostly men. Also, one time when we were raising funds for my startup, I was told before the VC pitch to change my designation, obviously to a lower rank, and my male co-founder to be the CEO. But now things are changing. There are a lot of emphasis on funding women-led businesses. Not fast enough, though, I feel. Hence, we have to unite and rise together.
Totally agree. So what can be done to close the gender gap in Malaysia's workforce? Unku, let's start with you.
We need to break the stereotype, which is what IWD hashtag this year is, right? Hashtag break the bias. The stereotype that workforce or certain type of industries, such as tech, are men's domain. Just like the stereotype that the kitchen is the women's domain. This is a misconception that must be addressed. This is where most conversations need to be had, and more female role models profile so that young women everywhere can see that the involvement of women in tech is a norm, not as an exception. I know we are still having a long way to go, which is why opportunities to talk about women in tech, such as this program, will go some way towards shifting these stereotype perceptions. Secondly, our education system must place more focus on behavioral science, for example, arts, creativity, and philosophy. I am glad that our Malaysia education system is already looking to drive STEM subjects, but perhaps we should also add the A, right, for arts into it so that we look at STEAM subjects, which are science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics. I believe this will lay a good foundation for a growth mindset. Start them young, you know? Thirdly, more companies that are typically stereotyped as men's domain, not just tech, but engineering, construction, for example, should have a gender-blind hiring process that looks at capability and merit. This will help more qualified people, regardless whether they are male or female, to be hired in these industries. Last but not least, companies that talk about bridging the gender divide must walk the talk. For us at Boost, it has always been about capability, never gender. We value diversity, equity, and inclusion. I am pleased to share that in Boost, the female employees ratio has been growing year on year. In fact, the leadership team at Boost Life has 50-50% male to female ratio. I am extremely proud of the number of women warriors at Boost, and we work well alongside our male compatriots to build solutions for our customers.
Okay, interesting. Yuki, how about you?
More and more awareness is created by the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, and gender equality being one of them. These are companies' compliance, so to say, and as it should be, to have these hard governance in place. As I lead the Malaysian chapter of Women in Tech Global Movement that has just been launched, a chapter of an international non-profit organization to empower women through and with tech, we work with partners who are aligned with us to advocate these messaging. It is true sometimes companies are doing it for the sake of making the quota to meet the KPIs, but that's okay. It's a start. Otherwise, it will be just firefighting issues as it comes and shooting in the dark without an objective outcome. I must also stress on the fact, and just as an example, for a company to give fairer paternal leave so that it creates option for both sexes. It is for the family to decide who should care for the child. I believe strongly in giving options.
And Irene as well.
I think firstly, with the existing workforce, let's instill that confidence with women in tech in in this area to say that, hey, they can be leaders in this field. And they're as capable as men. We got to instill that confidence as well. Secondly, this is really more for the long-term or medium-term, trying to get more girls to be interested in STEM, in STEM education. Encourage them that if you do this subjects, this is what your options can be when you finish school or when you graduate and so forth. And this is something that is going to be interesting and the many job opportunities that they can pursue and be successful. And it's a skill that is required and people are seeking for all around the world, not just in Malaysia, but also in the region, in ASEAN, in US, in Europe. So it's a skill that is demanded, highly demanded globally. So they need to understand that and how they can be very successful globally if they have these skill sets.
Okay, thanks for that. We have to take another short break, but we will be back in just a few moments. We are talking, of course, with Yuki Aizawa, the Women in Tech Malaysian Chapter's Country Director, Irene Omar, the President of AirAsia Digital over at AirAsia, and Uncle Norliza Shazwan, Uncle Halmi, a CEO of Boost Life. We'll be back after these messages and some music from Madness here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We are talking about women in tech today. We've got with us on the phone Yuki Aizawa, Women in Tech Malaysia's Chapter's Country Director. We have Irene Omar, the President of AirAsia Digital over at AirAsia, and Uncle Norliza Shazwan, Uncle Halmi, CEO of Boost Life. We've been asking them a bunch of questions, and of course, we've got more for them. Now, how can women create value in the industry and in tech products we use today? Irene, let's start with you.
Oh, interestingly, I think women in tech can create further value because if you look at it, the online shoppers today, 73% are actually women. So how do you design an app or design a website or design a whole user experience that's catered towards women thinking and thought process? And what? How do we, you know, use women's perspective and logic to help build certain app or certain experience and so forth? So that's a lot of opportunity for women to really take advantage of their statistics. And I think they can do better because they understand the needs and the wants and what makes women in general excited about continuing with your transaction or exploring the site or making purchases and so forth.
Yuki, how about you?
We all know without tech and innovation, we will be left behind. And I like to use the word digital inclusion. No one should be left behind. Hence, we educate, equip, and empower women with necessary skills. And as we have so many proofs that diverse team has much higher success rates in business without going into nitty-gritty. Women can contribute from different lens than men. Our way of looking at things we can complement from totally different angle. Also, with handy apps and innovation, it is so easy for us to work from anywhere, which can definitely include more workforces for those who have constraints to show up. So many innovation we can ride on, just having a smartphone, for example. And again, we would like to talk about the digital inclusion for the mature generation that is still in the workforce, yet not having the skills. I often hear that they want to learn it about e-commerce and digital marketing, etc., etc., or the marginalized sector where these innovation can create values, more so as women who are out there having the business, caring for the family, you know what is needed. You can be the voice and contribute in the local community what is lacking. Your idea might create a real impact in your local communities.
Finally, Uncle, let's hear from you.
Businesses that have a diverse and non-homogeneous team is smarter, I think. Working with people who are different challenges stale ways of thinking and sharpens performance. There have been many studies, such as the McKinsey research, that shows companies with healthy gender diversity were 15% more likely to have returns above industry. A BCG study, on the other hand, of women in Southeast Asia shows that companies in which women account for more than 20% of the management team have about 10% higher innovation revenues than male-dominated peers. Look at that. So women, alongside their male colleagues, can create value in the industry through greater collaborations of ideas. More so in fintech, it is important to have a good balance of hard skills as well as the soft skills. Jobs of the future may not be identical to what is required today and require a different set of skills. In tech, as more AIs and machine learning is being incorporated, this means that fewer coders and software developers are needed. So, the skill of the future, even in fintech, will be about more than just coding, and the importance of soft skills will be elevated. Women inherently bring soft skills to the workplace, such as empathy, multitasking. We are great in multitasking, problem solving, and working collaboratively with others. They are also able to pay attention to details, as well as look at the big picture. As fintech mature, these skills will be vital for business development, customer empathy, and creativity. Underlying the strength that women bring to a business is EQ, or emotional intelligence, which is increasingly more valued and will become an asset for fintech companies, from winning over investors to interviewing prospective employees to successfully connecting with customers. I remember reading somewhere that Christine Lagarde, the former managing director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, famously saying, if Lehman Brothers had been a bit more Lehman sisters, we would not have had the degree of tragedy that we had as a result of what happened. Emotional intelligence, or EQ, helps women leaders to be able to empathize, to understand, manage, and reason out with emotions.
Mm-hmm. All right. To all of you, what is your advice for young women who would like to build a career in the tech industry? Let's start with Yuki.
Get involved with community like us, Women in Tech Global Movement. Join us as member. It's free. We have gatherings, make connections, network is gold. Get in the mentorship program, exchange thoughts with like-minded, and educate yourself with our help. As I have noticed, and the statistics are showing, that women in Asia is a bit more reserved to voice their thoughts, while tech industry is still hugely disparate for women, and these communities will unite us. As the saying goes, pay it forward. One success brings to another, and ripple off effect that creates the big wave. At Women in Tech, the aim is to educate, equip, and empower women and girls with the necessary skills and confidence to succeed in STEAM career fields, which is science, technology, engineer, art, and maths. The A for art is a great transition we see in the likes of NFTs, which is the gaga in recent years. So hop on, define your interest, your strength, gain confidence, get inspired, all while we gather and exchange valuable experience through these supportive communities.
Okay, so join a community. How about you, Irene?
My advice is learn as much as you can. Have an open mind, because there's so much to learn and things are changing every day. New things are being developed and so forth. There's always not enough to learn, and we must always have an open mind that there will be new things in the future and be excited about that new things that's coming in, because that means there's bigger opportunities for many things that you could play around with and build bigger than what you have right now. The most important thing is not just get, you know, making sure that you're equipped with the right knowledge, but also you must have that confidence. You must be able to communicate well. You must learn how to speak up. You must learn how to be a team player, because a lot of the success that you find these days are not people working in silos. I mean, they have to work as a team to make a product successful. So women must have that confidence, and they need to find in themselves on how to build that confidence. The first thing that they need to think is like, I am a person, as opposed to say, I am a woman. I am a person that I need to build up the necessary skill sets and make sure that I actually live to the full potential of my capabilities, and what can I do to be able to get there. I think if they understand what it takes, then they will be very successful. So that's my advice to girls and women.
Mm-hmm. And Unku?
My personal advice would be, believe in yourself. This will be my number one piece of advice for women in the tech industry. We've been conditioned too long to see this industry as a men's domain. But if you're interested in this industry, go for it. Alongside this is having your own ring of cheerleaders, role models, and also mentors. I think it's very, very important for you to have all these three components to help you be successful. A group of people who have your back and will give you honest, objective feedback when needed and encouragement to just march on. Never stop learning. This industry already very fast-paced, so we must be prepared to have a learning mindset. Keep up to date with latest advances in your industry and leverage on your company's learning and development programs to progress yourself further. If there's none, invest in yourself and learn. No excuses. When you are passionate about a subject, you will learn easily. Finally, don't let the horizon pin you down. Go as far as you can, as high as you can. When you take one step ahead, the horizon moves ahead with you. Don't dampen your passion. Finally, I guess my last piece of advice is speak up. Many times as women, we are spoken over, mansplained and interrupted. We have earned that seat at the table, yeah? And deserve to have our views heard. So speak up and don't apologize for it.
I think on that note, we are going to take a short break, but we will be speaking about that. And the current theme of this year's International Women's Day, of course, is Break the Bias. We'll be asking you about that as our final question before we wrap up the show. Let's have a quick break with some music from Aretha Franklin with Chain of Fools here on Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bites, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
And in conjunction with International Women's Day, we are celebrating women in tech, an industry where we know women still remain underrepresented in general and in leadership. We do have on the phone with us Yuki Aizawa, Women in Tech Malaysia's chapter's country director, Irene Omar, president of AirAsia Digital over at AirAsia, and Unku Noliza Shazwan Unku Halmi, CEO of Boost Life. Final question before we let you go then. And of course, it's on this year's topic of International Women's Day. The theme is obviously Break the Bias. How do you break the bias in your course of work? Yuki, let's hear from you first.
At Women in Tech Malaysia chapter, we understand that bias and unconscious bias are a complex topic that has many folding factors: cultural, historical, educational, organizational, lack of policies, and so on and so forth. We can't solve everything, but to work with stakeholders, partners, collaborators, academia to bring awareness and harness the sustainable development goals. We urge to put framework of compliance and governance in place. And I ask that big corporates, companies to join forces to educate and harness these messaging, for you have an influential power, impact to the societies. There are so many ways to partner with us for the betterment of the society, for great causes and projects, to foster these messaging until we do not have to speak about it anymore. This is just the beginning.
Irene, your opinion, please.
Today, I see the biasness in the tech industry is mostly in certain skill sets that's predominantly acquired by men generally. So I see a lot of men in software engineering, a lot of men in cloud infrastructure and cloud architecture and so forth. I hardly see any women in cybersecurity. There's certainly more men in data science and so forth. So how do we break the biasness of this? So for me, I mean, since I'm in charge of AirAsia Academy and we have been very successful in reskilling our non-tech workforce into becoming a tech talent and land a job in areas like data science, digital marketing, software engineering, cloud infrastructure and architecture and cybersecurity. So I feel let's bring this reskilling program to women, especially women who are underprivileged. Let's help them build that skill sets, train them for the next 3 months or so, and help them find a job in these areas. I think this is one way that I can help to break that biasness.
Great. And finally, Anku, what about you?
As a woman leader, I see it is my responsibility to set the tone from the top so that others can see what women can contribute to the workplace. I encourage my colleagues to speak up and listen actively. For instance, in finding solutions, men tend to want to jump right in and solve problems, while women tend to listen more and encourage. I see the value in both approaches. So I do encourage the team to listen first, or they can also voice up if they are confident. There are a lot of nuances to a problem. If we listen with an open mind, and from there, we can structure solutions that are not only effective, but also relevant. Break the bias is breaking through stereotype mindset. In Boost, we have already break the bias by having 50-50% ratio of women to men in Boost Life leadership team. Almost the same ratio that we have in our in-house technology team. There are no differences if an opinion or solutions come from either men or women, because here, we value talent, capabilities, and quality deliverables, never gender, never age, never the race, color, or creed. I am taking this opportunity to wish all great women out there in Malaysia and across the globe Happy International Women's Day 2022. Hashtag break the bias.
Great stuff. That was Yuki Aizawa, Women in Tech Malaysia Chapter's Country Director, Irene Omar, the President of AirAsia Digital over at AirAsia, and Anku Norliza Shazwan, Anku Halmi, CEO of Boost Life. That's all the time that me and Christine have for today. But tomorrow will be part two of Women in Tech, and I'm sure you'll have more to talk about then. And if you want to get in touch with the show again, remember 018-789-8899 is the number if you'd like to send in a WhatsApp, Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the break, it is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. 2 years into the pandemic and hardly any flights happening, how does a general insurance player tied to an airline like Tune protect, grow and maintain its presence? The Breakfast Grill caught up with CEO of Tune Protect, Rohit Nambiar. That was this morning. Don't go anywhere if you want to listen to that. To take us up to the top of the hour, it's Liam Lynch with United States of Whatever here on BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.